You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Sutter from MLB.com, and I have a special treat today where I am joined by my good friend Steve Berfume, who is an announcer for the Diamondbacks. So, Steve, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, Allison. Thanks for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. So, I go through the coverage every day, and I sort of read up on every team. And I kind of found a little bit of humor in Tony La Russa's proclamation that he will be brokenhearted if the Diamondbacks do not finish above 500 next year. And I believe that that would be the expectation, and that would be the hope of the organization. I thought brokenhearted was a little dramatic, but... But basically what he was saying is that there's no reason why the Diamondbacks can't sort of bounce back after having the year that they had, because it's presumed that a lot of guys are going to come back healthy. Is that kind of how you see it too, where it's not so much – there's not really an overhaul that's needed as much as just guys to just come back and do what they did the year before last?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. 82-80, I think, is perfectly reasonable considering what the D-backs went through this year in terms of injuries. I think from a national spotlight, people saw about mid-season, where the D-backs were and where the Giants and Dodgers were, and sort of started paying attention to the top of the division rather than the bottom. And as a result, I think people really didn't get a full grasp of what we had happen here. We had five guys all in 1 year out with Tommy John, a total of six surgeries, if you count Daniel Hudson, who, of course, had two Tommy Johns this year. That's pretty tough to overcome. And then you throw in Mark Trumbo, who's out 3 months with a broken foot, and you throw in A.J. Pollock, who misses 2 months with a broken hand, and then Paul Goldschmidt, your reigning MVP runner-up, who misses the last 2 months of the season with a broken hand, and you start to look around and go, what did we do? Did we pick somebody off? Did we jinx something? How did we suffer this wave of one key injury after another? You can't have all your best players miss the entire season or 2 and 3 months at a time and expect not to flirt with 100 losses. Fortunately, we were able to avoid that number, but what the D-backs went through this year was just cataclysmic at certain points. And so when you get all those guys healthy and then you get creative with the roster in the offseason, and there's a lot of possibilities here, I don't think that 82-80 is unreasonable at all. I think considering what happened this year, that's certainly an attainable goal. This is a team that has a really solid, good group of young players. It just needs some spackle around the edges or maybe a coat of paint here and there, and hopefully that'll happen in this offseason.
Do you see them sort of playing around the free agent market, or do you see them kind of bolstering things more through trades? I mean, I know that every team has to tweak it a little bit here and there. You can't just go completely. I mean, I guess there are some teams that do that do nothing over the winter. But where do you see the Diamondbacks going? I mean, I know they're not financially in the same ballpark, so to speak, as some of the other teams in their division. So will they have to get creative on the trade front?
I think just about every team will, Allison, this year. And as we've seen already, we're still 2 weeks or so removed from the winter meetings, and we've already seen a number of trades with teams in both leagues. I think that's probably the way to go. I think you're looking at a payroll of about $100 million. There's already a lot of money committed now to players that are already here. And so we've seen Tony La Russa and seen Dave Stewart talk about getting creative and creating some financial flexibility to go ahead and make some moves. I think in terms of just writing a check for a player, we may see Kenta Maeda, the Japanese pitcher from the Hiroshima Carp, if he posts. I think the Diamondbacks will be in hot pursuit. They were right in at the wire there on Tanaka this year. They came very close. They were one of the finalists there. And not that Maeda is going to cost nearly that amount. I think he's more like an Iwakuma type. And Iwakuma didn't exactly make headlines when he posted, yet he wound up being one of the best pitchers in the American League not too long ago. So I think if Maeda posts, I think the Diamondbacks will be very interested. I know Dave Stewart has said publicly that he loves Maeda. Saw him pitch last week in the Japan series against the Major League All-Stars. He pitched really well in the World Baseball Classic a couple of years ago. I think in terms of pure money, that would be the guy that they get in on if he posts. I think there's also a lot they can do trade-wise here this winter.
Everyone's kind of talking about the Dodgers. They put together this quote-unquote dream team of five either past or present general managers, and they've just been adding piece after piece in the front office. But if you look at the Diamondbacks, I mean, they haven't, there's been a lot of changes there too. When you have, you know, La Russa kind of at the helm, and then Dave Stewart, and they've added some guys below that. What are your impressions, first of all, of Dave Stewart? Did that surprise you when he was hired? Not so much that he was hired, but that he wanted this job, and kind of what have your impressions been of the dynamic that's been going on in the front office?
It's a really exciting time here. You know, we announced Tony La Russa back in May as the chief baseball officer, and then Dave Stewart came in as the senior VP and GM, and you've got DeJohn Watson, who came over from the Dodgers as the senior VP of baseball operations. I think what Tony has done here is really create a network of information suppliers, and I think when Tony first was announced here, some people thought, well, it's an interesting move for him. He's accomplished so much, 33 years as a manager, and he's already in the Hall of Fame, and maybe he'll just sort of sit back and let other people, you know, make decisions, and he'll sort of green light things, and he'll just, in a way, kind of oversee. Well, that's not at all been the case here. Tony, that's just not his style. He has really got his hands on this thing, and he's got his nose up to the front of the glass here, and he is looking at every possibility. So he surrounded himself with a group of people that he really trusts, and they really have created a collective, and that's, I think, a new blueprint that we've seen with some other teams. The Cubs might be one with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, and I think this is where front offices are headed because there's just so much to do. You've got, you know, analytics. You've got an analytic department. You've got a scouting department. You've got a pro scouting department. You've got guys that have to know international scouting. You have to have rules guys. You have to have a money guy. There's all these things that need to be taken care of, and they're all equally important. And so I think that's what Tony has done here. He's really put together a good group that he trusts. But in the end, as he'll tell you, he's the guy with his finger on the trigger. He's making the decisions here. So it's a really, really interesting group. I can tell you right now, they are working their tails off. I see them here at Chase Field in the morning. I see them at night at fall league games that I'm at, watching our players play there. They are working hard night and day on this thing, and I think that's one reason why people are so excited and optimistic about next year.
I think it's really funny that, I mean, there's been such vitriol. I mean, it's been going on for a few years now, just between like the old school and the new school. And there's this impression that these old school baseball guys, these guys that have been around for decades and decades, that they don't want to have anything to do with the analytics side, and that there's a big war going on, which is absolutely like really not what's happening at all. And La Russa actually is a guy who is seen as having been, you know, a little bit on the hesitant side just to be incorporating everything together. Yet, he's really kind of dived into this whole, the analytics side. So I was seeing that there's a new director of baseball analytics and research who was a former veterinary medical and surgical practitioner named Ed Lewis, who is now on staff, which I think is, you know, fascinating, because it's almost like if he was hired by, you know, one of these guys that people sort of thumb their nose at, then you know, maybe it would have a different kind of reception. But, oh, my God, La Russa brought, you know, La Russa and Dave Stewart brought this guy on. So it kind of shows that they really are all-encompassing in what they're trying to do.
Yeah, we've got Dr. Ed Lewis here, who I had the pleasure to sit with Ed Saturday at the Fall League Championship game at Scottsdale Stadium. I sat with him and Dave McKay, our first base coach, and watched some of our guys. Ed is really excited about the opportunity. He's been, and he told me this a number of times, overwhelmingly impressed, as was I, with the culture here, because it's something that the Diamondbacks talk a lot about, and they back it up. This is a unique place to work. It's a unique place to be, and they make it that way by design, and it's more interesting and optimistic now than ever with the new regime here, and Ed, I think, is going to be a big part of that as he oversees our new analytics and research department. You mentioned the word vitriol, Allison, and I think you're right about that. I think you don't want to just say the bloggers, but the blogosphere's people and the people who write about analytics, and a lot of them are really, really smart people and know what they're doing. But I think when somebody doesn't hire one of their own, they sort of frown on it. And Ed, Dr. Ed Lewis is not in his basement, and no one is really writing a blog. But this was not the, okay, let's go all in here and hire a math nerd who's 28 years old and have him figure this stuff out. They didn't go that way, which is fine, because as Tony will tell you, the analytics are great in terms of preparation, But once the game starts, he does not want it getting in the way. And I think he believes that it gets in the way. And having managed 33 years in the big leagues and gone to the Hall of Fame, I'm going to take his word for it that it does get in the way. And Ed has said, you don't want to flood people with information because then it all just gets lost. If you hit guys over the head with a wave of different stuff and all kinds of papers and pie charts and graphs and statistics, none of it is going to sink in. But if you really focus on one or two ideas, hey, here's how we can win this series based on these trends and these numbers that we've discovered. If you give them a couple of nuggets and go in there with that, once the game starts, then the analytics are put aside, and it's about what happens on the field. And I think that's the way it's going to work here.
Yeah, I think the most successful teams are going to be the ones that have every single bit of information that they can possibly have at their fingertips and given to the right people. And then when 7:05 comes around or whatever time your game starts, that it becomes it's in the hands of the manager and nobody else. And I think that's
I just finished my second year here doing D-backs games, and before that I was in a TV studio for 13 years talking about baseball, and I can tell you there's a night and day difference. I mean, it's easy to watch games on TV and come up with theories and then go find numbers that support a theory and back it up. I used to do that at ESPN.com, but when it is different, it's just different. And when you're on the field or at the ballpark or on the road with the team, you have to factor in the human element. You do have to find a way to quantify clutch and things like that. You know, those words that give sabermetricians the willies a little bit, those things matter. And so you do have to find that happy medium. And I think the sabermetric argument has calmed down a little bit. And now I think we're getting more toward a happy medium where everybody can agree that this is a very good thing. It's a very useful tool. But it only goes so far. It's not the end-all, be-all. War is not the answer. It's not the ultimate argument. It's a nice starting point for discussion, but it's not the definitive answer. And I think we're getting to a nice, happy middle ground there with that.
I agree with you. It's good to be on the same page as you, Steve, of all people. thank you so much for joining us. I enjoy this very much. So enjoy the off-season, and hopefully I'll see you in the spring.
I sure will. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Steve.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.